From scratch.
Welcome to From Scratch. My name is Nigel Payne.
And I'm Martin Cousins.
And we're going to start off with me this time, which is unusual, especially as the topic is curation, which is Martin's baby. So cheekily, I'm going to sneak in. And I've got a problem or an issue which I want to discuss with Martin, because he'll probably know 25 times more than I do about it. But I've just been reflecting on the movement from curation as something we do as individuals, the Harold Jarkey model, seek, sense, share, and many other commentaries around curation focus on individual empowerment, individuals taking charge of curation, becoming curators, moving from creators to curators. But no one is really talking about how do you roll that out across a whole team? How do you roll it out across a whole organization? And if you have an organization focused on curation as a model, how does that change the structures? What does that do to the organization? Is that important? Is it something that we really should be focusing on? So they were my questions. And as usual with difficult questions, I simply pass them gingerly across to Martin. Martin, what do you think?
Well, thanks ever so much, Nigel. These are very good questions. And actually, I think we're right to be thinking about them now, because this whole world of making sense of content and information is just developing all the time. So, you know, we're well aware of the fact that the big social networks such as LinkedIn, Twitter, SlideShare, Facebook, they're all trying to find ways of curating content to make them more accessible all the time, because they know that there's so much information within them, and it's really hard for people to actually access stuff or know where to begin to look. So I think that's the context, and we know that more and more people are going to come online, and this is only going to get worse and worse if you think about it in that way. There's going to be more and more information. So this idea that we individually can do something, I think, is kind of well covered in the learning community, if you like. Like Harold Jarkey, for example, there are things we can do as individuals. But then we've got this issue of scale. And what does that look like for teams and organisations? And I think this is a very, very interesting area. And I'm not so sure from the work that I do that there are that many people who have figured it out. I think people are on the curve. They'll be thinking about what curation actually is and how it might start to work for individuals. But that idea of scaling this up into something that can really work for an organisation is a whole different ballgame. So my thinking around that is taking it back to what actually are we talking about? What's the end result of this curation? And what we're talking about there is content, kind of feeds of content. And I don't think learning and development teams have been set up to be managing content in the way that we probably need to for the future. Now, my background is publishing, and that's why I have an interest in all of this, because this for me is about these flows of information, curated flows of information, but they've got to go to the right people in the right way at the right time. Now, I don't know, that might be knowledge management. My history is not knowledge management. My thinking would be a part of this scaling up is probably looking at what you need to get the right information to the right people at the right time. And I think, you know, one of my previous roles was, and actually one of my current roles is, an editor. So I would think of people being more like editors. You could say curate, you know, but your sources aren't necessarily the flows of information you get through individual curation. Your sources are the flows you get from a whole organization of people curating information. Yeah. So there's going to be an element of automating this with some smart algorithmic technology. Yeah. But there's also going to be an element of pro- probably creating these super editors who are managing information around the business. And that is not just an internal thing. If you can do that kind of thing, then you can start to share that externally. That feeds into marketing and just basically building your authority in the market and beyond with your supply chain or whoever, by using, you know, great content. So my thing would be, it's going to be a mix of technology, potentially a mix of a new type of editor type person who is solely responsible for making sure people get the right information.
Yeah, I've got four things that we need. The first is we need platform. You need some common ground. There's no point in 100 people sharing 100 pieces of information on 100 different platforms. So we do need some sort of common platform. But within that platform, we need channels. And the channels need channel managers. And that could be your super editors, people who maybe create channels as well as manage channels. And you've got to have the last component is really easy access. So I don't know whether that's around tagging, meta tagging, broadcasting out in key defined ways. I don't know. But we certainly need to make the access as easy as the input. Otherwise, stuff will disappear into yet another horrible black hole, and we're back to the problem of knowledge management, where all the focus is on the management of the knowledge and nothing about how you actually get it out and use it.
Yeah.
But is that the key? Do you think that's right? So we've got a platform, we've got channels within that platform, and we've got your super editors, and we've got some sort of tagging system that is crowd-driven, so that stuff can be found in any way, not just in a way that a super editor defines. So you get beyond the channels.
I think so.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think so. And that kind of channel manager, whatever you want to call it, super editor, just think about the people that are compiling BuzzFeed lists and listicles. And we're talking about people whose responsibility it is to continually put stuff out there.
Yeah.
You know, within organizations, this is just dead content.
Yeah.
It's just like we pull it together, stick it in an learning management system.
And it dies.
Yeah. You've got to have people that give this stuff a pulse every day of the week.
Yes.
And that's a mindset change and a strategic change. And also, I think it's moving away from the comfort zone here is owned, created content.
Yeah.
Suddenly we're in this world of not owned, but linked to curated content, which has a higher value than what you had previously. And I think that's strategically, my thing here would be, that's got to go right to the top of the organization. So what does curated look like for us? Because it's not just stuff. If you just to think about what we've just talked about, the implications there strategically and in terms of skill sets and how you resource it, completely different. You don't have those people in L&D right now.
No, you don't.
Or you might do, but they won't be doing those kind of roles.
No, I agree with you. And I totally agree.
And who in the organization should be doing those kind of roles? You know,
these are really big issues. I think we probably, before we go too much further, we should stop there. But what I really want to leave everyone with is that concept of animating information. So this dead block has to be brought to life. So it's got a pulse. I love that word. It's got a pulse. It vibrates. It moves. It's organic. It grows. At that point, you begin to solve the problem of how you curate across a whole organization. Mm-hmm. So let's leave it there. Martin, great conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Thanks, Nigel. From scratch.